From the Rio Grande to the Sabine and the Canadian to the San Antonio. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan in chief, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan studio on this Friday, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without the corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, well, Governor Abbott goes full Don Huffines, his primary challenger on the border, but offers few details. I'll tell you what I think Texas will do, and it's not a full border wall as reports want you to believe. There's a lot about a little to discuss at this point. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Check for safety with drug testing from Allied Compliance Services. Learn more at alliedcompliance.com. Abilene State Rep. Lambert asks the governor to put the Chapter 313 corporate welfare on the special session call. That's right, he wants it extended. Have more of this corporate welfare, does Lambert. Abbott tempers his veto legislation funding threat. That's right. Or what'd I say, veto legislation funding threat? Well, that's pretty bad. Abbott tempers his veto legislative funding threat after being beating the drum so loud. He's backing off a little bit on that. Oil and gas rig count and much more, my friends. Remember, you can listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Just get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. Good thing to listen while you're doing your workout or something like that. I will tell you, listening to the stream or on our radio affiliates is much better, though. Not only do you hear all the great people that make the show possible, but you get all the great Texas music and stuff. And that really adds so much to the show. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. We've got several things to get to before we get to the really, really big story. Don't forget, we announced yesterday the big Standing Strong, a celebration of liberty put on by Q Country, 96.1 FM in Abilene and Denton Valley Farms. I'll be the keynote speaker for that big event of music and patriotism and fun dinner from Bell's Chicken Dinner House. You got to get tickets to that event, and it's June 30th, Wednesday, June 30th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Denton Valley Farms, just outside of Abilene. And you can go to the website, PrattOnTexas.com. You'll see it up there near the top. Click through and get your tickets through Eventbrite. Somebody wrote me and said I had trouble with their PayPal deal at Eventbrite paying for a couple of times, and it finally went through. You know, and I wrote him back. I said, well, I don't know because I'm not in charge of that. But I had trouble that same day with a completely different vendor that used a PayPal checkout deal, and it never would go through, and I had to go order from an alternative vendor. So hopefully that was just something over at the PayPal site. All right, my friends, the Lubbock City Council, Lubbock's mayor's having some big yoga event. Tells you all you need to know. They've been using taxpayer dollars to send you out all this stuff, the yoga event. City of Lubbock, official government piece, kind of celebrating the sexual alphabet community. The headline, Public Health Department to offer free HIV, STI, that means sexually transmitted diseases, testing and COVID-19 vaccine to LGBTQ plus community during weekend pride celebration. And here's the whole thing. City of Lubbock Public Health Department Street Outreach Group will offer free HIV and syphilis testing to members of the local LGBTQ plus community during this weekend's pride festivities. Testing is convenient and confidential. Says all you need to know about the sexual alphabet movement. That says all you need to know. Well, my friends, today in Texas history, this was a big day. Oh, by the way, this isn't the big one, but 1936, Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Governor James Allred officiated the groundbreaking of the Texas Memorial Museum that opened in 1939. So FDR was around for that. Armed robbers hit the state treasury. This was June 11th, 1865, my friends, and our Today in Texas History sponsored by USA Investigations, providing professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more, background checks, you name it. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. It was this day in 1865, an estimated 50 desperados broke into the state treasury in Austin. Wasn't legislators, by the way, at least as best we know, because they can raid the treasury legally. It's one of the boldest crimes in Texas history. The robbery occurred during the chaotic period immediately after the downfall of the Confederacy in the spring of 65. General Nathan Shelley informed George Freeman, a Confederate veteran and leader of a small company of volunteer militia, that the robbery was imminent. By the time Freeman and about 20 of his troops arrived at the Treasury, the robbers were in the building. Brief gunfight ensued, which one of the robbers was mortally wounded. All the others fled toward Mount Bunnell, west of Austin, carrying with them about $17,000 in specie, more than half of the gold and silver in the state treasury. None was ever captured. Reckon they looked hard. The loot was never recovered, although some of the money was found strewn between the Treasury building and Mount Bunnell. I had a friend that when they were in college down there, he was imbibed so much, I think he basically, I was told, rolled all the way down Mount Bunnell. That would embarrass him now, he has kids. Freeman and his company of volunteers were later recognized by the state for their service in defending the public treasury, but the resolution providing a reward for their services never passed. Well, why should it? They didn't save it. They got away with the money and nobody was ever caught. USAinvestigations.net, sponsoring our Today in Texas History. All right, my friends, before we get to the big story, the Lone Star story of the day, I've got some other items I want to cover, so let's hit that stack right now. And let's turn to the oil and gas business. The Baker Hughes rotary rig count up, out, showing that the U.S. increased the total number of oil and gas drilling rigs by 5 this week to 461. The Texas count went up by 3. That's right, up by 3 to 219 rigs drilling actively for oil or gas. Abilene's Stan Lambert calls on Abbott to add Chapter 313, this is the corporate welfare stuff, to the special session agenda reported in the Texan, with the program set to expire next year after the ledge elected not to renew it. Representative Stan Lambert of Abilene's the first to call on the governor to include a revival of this property tax abatement program for the special session. Houston Chronicle analysis found the price tag for a decade extension of the program would cost $10.8 billion and pegged it at $211,600 per job created. In his letter to the governor, Abilene's Lambert says, "These agreements are an important economic development tool, proven to create jobs and bring business to Texas. They create school district jobs." That's it, pretty much, in any big numbers. And Governor Abbott tempers promise to cut legislative funding. Really? After all that banging of the drum? Yep, the back mic column at the Texan caught this interview with Spectrum News, which is a cable news outlet. And I know it airs in Austin and some other places. I don't know which brand of cable company, cable television. At the conclusion of the legislature, Abbott reacted to the last-minute collapse of the election integrity priority legislation by threatening to veto the entire legislative branch's funding for the next biennium budget. You know, it would start next in September. "No pay for those who will abandon their responsibilities," he said. In an interview with Spectrum News, Abbott tempered his previous threat, saying, "I'll give them the opportunity to reinstate it. I'll add that issue to the special session agenda so they can have the opportunity to reinstate all the funding that's contained in Article 10. It's exactly what I told you would happen, and that's what he'd have to do, because how are you going to get your other stuff done, your redistricting done, if you don't do that in advance before you get to the fall? So, again, it was a lot of drum beating and a headline grabbing, but not too much really behind it at all. Also, my friends, the ban on shutting off utilities in the state for non-payment is about to end. The PUC said today in its meeting this morning that 7 days from now it'll end that moratorium that they started for disconnections due to the winter freeze-out storm and all of that. So you're going to have to pay the utility bills. And I wonder if you've been following it, but it's real. The CDC is holding an emergency meeting because their own data shows a really troubling problem of heart inflammation following COVID-19 vaccinations, particularly in young men. Back in a moment, my friends, with more on Pratt on Texas. This is the Texas Hour.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, "How could it be any better?" Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, "Thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did." Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com.
You've heard about their politics all day. Now it's time for ours. It's Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Ildefonso Ortiz and Brandon Darby at Breitbart, Texas, reporting human smugglers up Facebook advertising for safe passage to the U.S. That's right, they continue to advertise on these lefty billionaire social media sites that cut off conservatives from making legitimate constitutional arguments. But Facebook claimed they had done something about this, but a new report by Tech Transparency Project says there's videos being posted with groups of migrants crossing the desert in the Rio Grande. After being presented with a list of 50 groups which advertised human smuggling services, Facebook only took down half, the report explained. There you go. There you go. Facebook. Zuckerberg. And out of Alpine, KOSA is reporting that a sting operation in Alpine started with a tip about young migrant girls, these are illegal aliens, being held at a motel there. Sheriff Dodson in Brewster County told CBS 7, KOSA, Sheriff's Office got a tip that migrant girls who were 16 years old and younger were at a hotel in Alpine. Sheriff said they were told they'd be picked up and taken to Odessa and then transported to the DFW area. Agency searched the hotel, did not find them. They missed the young girls by several hours. Two illegal aliens who were part of the group were apprehended, though, according to the Brewster County Sheriff, and were turned over to Border Patrol. So, you know, who knows what happens there with Border Patrol, since that's the feds. They don't seem to want to do very much. Well, the Border Patrol wants to. The Biden administration won't let them. Now, let's talk about this stuff. The governor, I mentioned he was going to have his conference on the border, whatever he called it, yesterday, and he did. There's a lot to say about a little because, frankly, the governor came out with all this giant stuff but didn't really have any details. The more interesting thing, we'll get to all of it. The more interesting part of it is the call for mutual resources where he's named a border state of disaster, and so has that Rhino Ducey in Arizona. And now they're calling on the compact with other states to help us. The two governors ask people, other states, to provide, you know, help. And during a one-on-one interview with Breitbart Texas, Abbott said he anticipates a high level of participation. He said, I'll tell you why. The immigration issue and the border issue is not just the number one issue in Texas. It's the number one issue in America. So all these other governors, they hear the same concerns we hear about in Texas. And the reason we're here in this conference yesterday is the massive increase in, of course, in the crossings concentrated in the Rio Grande. He said it used to be concentrated in the Rio Grande Valley. Now, you know, we're upstream in Del Rio sector, and they're suffering, as I've been reporting to you for weeks. Task force will begin their work. He created this big task force, and they'll start meeting with the Texas Border Sheriff's Coalition, county judges, mayors, property rights organizations, concerned citizens, and border area prosecutors. He announced yesterday, those meetings began yesterday in breakout sessions at this so-called summit on the border. I say so-called because a lot of the big folks on the border were a little bit not clear what this really was. It was a good campaign appearance and fine. I mean, I'm all for this getting tough on the border. It's just, you know, you've had 7 years. What happened then? Let's talk about what the big headlines are. Texas going to build its own wall. Now, you heard I told you competitive primaries were important because Governor Abbott's been there 7 years, hadn't done anything on this. I mean, he's done a lot. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. He hadn't gone out and said, we're going to build our own wall and we're going to start arresting everybody. When Don Huffines said this on this show in the interview, you can go listen to at in the podcast, I challenged him because I think we're very limited in what we can do on this. And it is interesting. Everybody's talking about Texas building its own wall. That's not going to happen. And I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. Let me give you a little excerpt from various press reports. Texas to build its own border barriers, says Governor Bob Price at Breitbart, Texas. That's the key wording, border barriers. Abbott said Texas will immediately begin construction of border barriers in areas like Del Rio, where migrants can easily cross unsecured sections. Governor picked Del Rio as a location for his announcement due to the massive increases in illegal border crossings in the region. Del Rio sector border agents apprehended 27,890 migrants, a 1,118% increase. So in other words, 11 times more in May this year than in May of last year. Governor said authorities are going to use existing authority under the state of emergency declaration. This ought to bother conservatives to some degree, this falling in love with emergency declarations, because this precedent setting, whether it's the COVID thing, the hurricanes, or whatever, sets a precedent that when you elect, God forbid, a Beto, Poncho O'Rourke or somebody in there, they're going to be able to use emergency declarations to do all kinds of things to you, like shutting your business down, taking your guns away, limiting your travel. We know this because governors like in New Mexico and others did so. So I don't really like this. I don't like the way this is being done. I'm all for getting tough on the border, but the governor says it's his state of emergency declaration that allows this extra authority. Well, is that really what a governor can just declare an emergency and then just be without consequence? Apparently, because the legislature sure didn't do much about it from the pandemic stuff. Governor said, if you come to Texas, you're subject to being arrested. You're not going to have a pathway to roam the country. You're going to have a pathway directly into a jail cell. Yeah, until they send you out. We'll talk more about it. We want to be very aggressive in working with local officials and begin making arrests, he said, and working in collaboration with a large number of counties means we're going to be arresting a lot more people. The governor said this will create the need across the state for a lot more jails. Governor explained the barriers that we're going to build serve two functions in the battle. The first being physical deterrence. The second, if they, the illegal aliens, move or interfere with that barrier, they've committed several crimes. In other words, this is kind of a baiting thing where, if you cut the barrier, you move the barrier, whatever, then you have probably a destruction of public property charge. The problem is all these charges trespassing on are not enough charges to actually hold people in jail for very long. And that's if the courts and federal courts allow this to move forward. And remember, Arizona tried exactly this and was stopped by the courts. They actually did it right, not with the governor declaring an emergency deal and becoming a dictator. They passed a law, if you'll recall, all those years ago during the Obama years. And the federal courts shut a lot of it down. So we'll see what we can do here. Let's see, he says, and the emergency declaration causes the penalties to be increased by one level. That means it could be up to 180 days in jail. Something that could be a Class B misdemeanor right now turned into a Class A misdemeanor. Again, are you comfortable with the governor being able to do this? What happens when they declare whatever you enjoy doing or whatever your life is, when the liberals declare oil and gas production a climate emergency when they're in control? Just saying, because we got a whole lot of people, including friends of mine, who all they can look at is you know, like the people that drive that can't see more than 50 yards in front of them and only look at the bumper of the car. They're still accelerating when the light just 100 yards ahead just turned red. It bothers me greatly from that standpoint. But okay, so Abbott said they've identified more than 1,000 jail cells that can be used to hold arrested migrants, and they're going to work with state and local people to find places, including what they call the form of soft-sided facilities. The Statesman had a big piece on this. Texas will build border wall amid unprecedented crisis. And really the key to most of this is he didn't really tell us what he's going to do. No details on cost or location. I will announce next week the plan for the state of Texas to begin building the border wall in the state of Texas. So you get a whole another week or two of good headlines in the national press to start building yourself up for the Republican presidential primaries. I think there's some real problems with this. I hope we can do some of it. We'll talk about it in a moment.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Here's a man who is proud of Texas and Texans. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We're talking about Governor Abbott's big press event in Del Rio where he said, we're going to build a border wall, and all the national press is telling you Texas is going to build its own wall. And I've just seen awful reporting, particularly in the national media, even conservative national media, about this. The governor didn't say some of the things that they're interpreting it to be. And if he did, some of it was very disingenuous. There's no border wall. He's talking about barriers. I think what you're going to see is a plan for the state to come in and put in some kind of barrier, not the super expensive stuff that Trump had being built that we need to finish, but other types of barriers on a much lower cost in areas where we've got really high traffic, which, of course, just moves the traffic somewhere else. But don't get, that's not a criticism. I mean, that's still a good thing, because the more areas you plug up, the more ability, time it gives the Border Patrol and others to react. Now, that doesn't help much if the Border Patrol's basically under the orders to just let everybody go, and that seems to be the case right now. The governor's talking about using state law to arrest people. And, you know, he's bragging, as I told you in the last segment, about, well, because it's under an emergency declaration, it ups the penalties. We're still talking about the kind of things most people get a fine or no days in jail for, or one day or a weekend. They're just, you're going to fill all these jails. Who's paying for that? Taxpayers. And they're still going to get let loose. And the feds don't seem to have any interest in picking them up and grabbing them, you know, ICE coming in and taking them when they're discharged. So I don't know if we're not just adding a cost to the already existing cost. I mean, it's a big political move. I like, you know, that part of it. Sure, it's red meat, but I'm not sure what if the actual effect is to have the same result, but it just costs Texas taxpayers a lot more money. Some of the reporting's been really bad. I mean, Texas passed over $1 billion for border security. Now, folks, that's not right. Even the Statesman had a piece back on May 30th, a budget. Texas lawmakers are directing more than $1 billion to border security. Actually, that's over a two-year budget. So it's just over $500 million a year. That's basically the DPS funding. That's our state police funding. And they did increase it, but they only increased it $200 million in the two-year budget. That's an increase of $100 million. Have you looked at the cost of condemning and buying this land and stuff for these barriers and what they cost? It's not enough to seal off a large park. So I'm very suspect of that, and don't believe all I've seen a bunch of national reports. Oh, Texas put $1 billion there for this, as if the governor can just direct it to whatever. Well, he can't. Because, this started way back. Remember, in 2019, we allocated more than $800 million towards border security initiatives in the two-year budget. So it's, you know, about $400 million a year. In 2017, we started at $663 million. 2015, it was up at $800 million. That's because we hired a whole bunch of new DPS folks. Roughly half of this $1.1 billion, or a little more than half a billion each year, covers the salaries of state employees dedicated to the effort, including the funding for hiring an additional 100 new state troopers. So there's no $1 billion to hand out for new projects. At the beginning of the year, 1,063 troopers were assigned to border security duties, including 26 pilots and tactical flight officers. This latest spending in the new budget includes more than $10 million for local border security grants that the governor gets to hand out for political favors along the border. And I want you to catch this part. Look, so there's not $1 billion there. And he's not talking about building a wall. We don't have the money for that. Nobody allocated any money for that. They're going to build some barriers. That's what he's going to announce, some kind of, and they're going to make them sound real big and important, but strategic barriers, and they may be. And then when they move them or cut through them or whatever, they just trump up the charges on people. Well, I hope you got a whole bunch of Democrat district judges up and down there that are going to issue stiff sentences, because you're talking about jurisdictions where these will be held that are fairly small jurisdictions and are controlled by Democrats. The Texas scorecard pointed this out of note. During the 87th session that just ended, which concluded there on May 31, there were a few bills filed to do some of these very things Abbott announced in his address. The bills never made it through the legislative process. In fact, border security, we were already in a crisis back in February, but Abbott did not place the border security issues as one of his emergency legislative priorities he announced in early February. Notice that? Don't forget that. Senator Bob Hall had a bill that would have authorized the Texas governor to coordinate, develop an interstate compact for joint action on border security and enforce federal regulations. Passed the Senate, but died in the House. State Rep. Brian Slayton had a bill that would have created the framework for the funding of border security enhancements, including a wall. It would have required the governor to obtain reimbursement from the feds for all the expenses, or, you know, try to obtain it. It never even got a hearing, a public hearing, in the Texas House of Representatives. Starting to see a pattern here? You know, there is. Now, Ben Wehrman at the Houston Chronicle wrote up a Q&A today, how Governor Abbott's three-pronged border plan escalates the clash with Biden, and that's what it is. Don't get me wrong. We need the border security. We as taxpayers are already paying for a massive up of that. The legislature passed, like I said, about $100 million a year for more. Of course, the Chronicle has to even question whether there's a crisis on the border, which is laughable. And then they do point out the things Biden's done. I mean, he's stopped all the things that had slowed down this stuff. You get to what is Abbott's plan? Abbott declared a disaster in dozens of border counties and said state troopers and local police will begin arresting anyone who enters our state illegally and is found trespassing, engaged in vandalism, criminal mischief, or smuggling. Abbott said the state will pick up where Trump left off building a border wall and created a task force that, among other things, will work with local and county officials to expand jail capacities in border counties and help landowners sue the feds over damages caused by migrants. The governor said he signed this interstate commerce deal with the agreement with Governor Ducey in Arizona, asking other states to send law enforcement officials to assist and to provide jail space. Long term, only Congress and the president can fix our broken border. But in the meantime, Texans is going to do everything possible, including beginning to make arrests to keep our communities safe, Abbott said. Abbott said he'll detail the plans of the wall next week. So little is known yet about what it will entail and how he plans to pay for it, or even where he puts it. Look, the feds, with all their power, have had to be in court for years. Remember, the wall-building stuff and condemnation of land and planning, it started way, way back in the George W. Bush years, when I think even before that, but that was when they passed most of this stuff. There are court cases that just finished up in the last 12 months that started way back then, all through the Obama years, on these condemnations. You know, the idea the state's just going to walk in there and be able to put stuff down. Yeah, we have some areas where state owns property. Most of this property is private property. Some people will volunteer it. They probably want to be paid. So where's that money going to come from? Some of it's going to be municipal property and stuff like that, fine. But most of this stuff's private property. The feds have had a very hard time getting the land. So again, we're going to end up with little strategic barriers that I think are going to be baits that try to get them in to you know, move the cone and get a $100 fine or 10 days in jail type things. Can the state arrest migrants? Well, immigration experts said the move will almost certainly face legal challenges. It will. We could prevail, though. They point out that in the first state to try and do it, Supreme Court in 2012 blocked that similar effort by Arizona, passed a law that would allow state police to arrest illegal aliens on trespassing charges, among other things. The court ruled states cannot enforce immigration law. But again, we can enforce state law like trespassing, so we might get away with it. They point out, but the high court has changed dramatically since that 5-3 ruling. Abbott did not make clear Thursday how he plans to comply with the Supreme Court's former ruling, though he did say that anybody who tries to modify or get through border barriers would be breaking a state law. Again, that's what I think you're going to see. You're going to see mess with me, it's destruction of public property type things, and, you know, then you get trespassing, you get a whole bunch of charges tacked on, then we put them in jail. Okay, we put them in jail. That costs local and state taxpayers a lot of money. Then they're let go. If the Biden people won't let ICE get them and deport them, we just made it more costly.
It's the talk of Texas. Pratt on Texas. Our quest for liberty spans the ages, and in America's Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, the people were finally made sovereign. Many recognized it as the greatest achievement for liberty in all of history. But history repeats. Now, our liberty is under serious threat. Join us Wednesday, June 30th from 6 to 9 at Denton Valley Farms for Standing Strong, a celebration of liberty, an evening of inspiration and hope for our country and conservative values. Robert Pratt, host of Pratt on Texas, conservative speaker and writer, will be our featured speaker, challenging you to be involved and giving you hope through action. This one-night-only patriotic event includes music, dinner from Bell's Chicken Dinner House, and more. Get information now, including tickets, at QCountryRadio.com. June 30th, one night only. Learn more at QCountryRadio.com.
Welcome to the show, where Juan Seguin, Sam Houston, and the Alamo are revered equally as Washington, Jefferson, and Concord. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I never much cared for pep rallies. They were fun. We got out of class and the band got to play and that stuff. I'm not a big pep rally person. I've always been a results-oriented person. I care about the effectiveness. I like the governor acting on all of this. It is interesting, though, that he didn't even make border security an emergency item in the legislative session, and the bills that were there to do what he's talking about, a lot of this stuff, went nowhere in the legislature. So it means even behind the scenes, the governor and his staff were doing nothing to push those bills. I like the being tough, but how much of this is let taxpayers pay for a big Republican presidential primary issue for me? It's all the red meat stuff. If it works, fantastic. I just don't see how it's possible. And don't think, well, that's because you're predisposed against Abbott. Look, I like that Huffines guy. I don't know if he can win, but he's a lot of fun to talk to. He had an excellent record in the state Senate. He's a conservative all the way. And I challenged him on that. Go listen to the interview. I think we're very limited. But I'll tell you, when I heard Abbott doing all this stuff, I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be fun for the Huffines campaign. And sure enough, they wrote almost exactly the email I would have sent out today, their press release. I love the headline. Huffine thanks Governor Abbott for, quote, joining my campaign. It's funny. Here's what Don Huffine said. I would like to thank All Talk, No Action Greg Abbott for joining my campaign by admitting that as governor, he's had the power for the last 7 years to close down the Texas border and has refused to do so. His significant shift in tone today is a result of the massive momentum our campaign's receiving. It's more about this, as I told you yesterday, the issue really making it nationally and internationally now is a mainstream major news story in a real crisis, and Abbott's wants to run for president. That's what it's really about. But anyway, I love this. As Governor Huffines said, I will finish Trump's wall and actually close down the border. I will end taxpayer subsidies to illegal aliens that Greg Abbott is funding in his current budget. Yeah, and I don't think he line item vetoed any of that. So this is what I meant by there's a lot to say about a little. The governor didn't really provide any way of paying for something, what the costs are going to be. He didn't give us anything on that. They're all reporting, build a border wall. People are all excited because they don't pay attention. A lot of the national press is just completely misrepresenting the money the legislature set aside for the border. Most of this money is going to DPS trooper salaries. It's not available to go build a wall. We're going to get a series of strategic barriers where we can get cooperation with local authorities, counties and cities, and maybe a landowner here or there, and basically probably use that to bait people or try to slow them down somewhat, but bait them so that then state authorities can video and arrest them on these misdemeanor charges that can put you in jail for a little while. You're going to have the jail cell, but more importantly, you're going to have district attorneys and county attorneys that'll prosecute them. These are Democrat counties. Some will, some won't. You got to have judges that'll give them the sentence. And again, my real fear here is that in search of this red meat political issue, all we end up doing is costing the taxpayers of Texas directly thousands of dollars per person for trial, arrest, trial, and incarceration. And then when they're done with that, they're simply let out, and then they walk right on into the country where they wanted to go, because a bunch of the Democrats have refused to participate with ICE in the jail thing where they don't turn them over to them. This is already a serious problem. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to try to find jail space in friendly counties with friendly sheriffs that will cooperate with ICE. But then you've got to remember the reports from ICE and from Border Patrol. The anonymous, you know, leaders there saying, look, they're not letting us do this stuff. We're basically catch and release and just letting people go on a promise to appear and all this, the catch and release program. So if that's the way it works out, okay, we've rattled a saber, we've shown it, maybe we've even cut a little bit, but it's nothing but a little bitty scratch. And the cost to us may be enormous. You could say, well, this is to make the Biden administration do something about it. Well, so far they didn't seem very interested in doing anything about it, and I don't think they will. I think, as most of the press, the liberal papers, including the Houston Chronicle, termed it in the top, it's just really a political war with the Biden administration. Okay, it's a good political war, but it needs to be an effective war if it costs us money. All right, so a lot said about a little. We'll know more as time comes on, but I guarantee you, you'll find that most of what I predicted and how I described it is going to be true. Out of Van Horn, at least six hurt as a Border Patrol van was run off a Texas road. This wasn't one of those horrible chases or cartels. They had a van full of illegal aliens, and I think a truck driver merged over on them on I-10 and forced them off the road, and they gave him a ticket. KRBC reporting that Thaddeus Jason Hack, H-A-A-K, I don't know how you said, Hawk, was arrested Friday morning after he was charged this morning with two counts of first-degree felony aggravated assault. Court documents obtained by KRBC indicate that on 30 June, how can it be 30 June? It's not June 30th yet. Oh, 2020. Hack was accused of threatening bodily harm by pointing a firearm at a fellow Abilene police officer while on official duty. He was a police officer. He was formerly a sergeant in the APD and then retired, they said, abruptly on July 14th, 2020, probably as a result of this. So apparently he's now been charged on that. In Odessa, a woman's been shot after pointing a gun at police officers. This happened last evening. There were suicide threats involving a 61-year-old woman. They were there speaking with her. She then pointed the gun in their direction, and an officer shot her. U.S. Postal Service employee in Lubbock charged with theft of mail. They say Jeremy Dale Massengill is accused of embezzling mail matter of more than $500, stealing, I guess, gift cards out of the mail. And he was indicted. He's guilty. He's just been indicted this week. A Lubbock man, Paul Anthony Pinkston, 76 years old, was arrested yesterday for intoxication manslaughter in the death of Case Dwayne Clark, 22, of Lubbock. This guy's pickup hit this other guy on a motorcycle. The guy on the motorcycle died, and they're saying, I guess, that he was intoxicated. Lancaster ISD was the target of a big ransomware attack, and hackers have dumped their sensitive information on the dark web. WFAA got a group to show them all this, and 9 gigabytes of data dumped on the dark web, including serial birth dates, social security numbers, all kinds of stuff, contracting information, legal advice, invoices from attorneys for the district, everything. Brett Callow, a threat analyst with the firm Emisoft, said hackers usually throw out a small chunk of what they have when an entity they're targeting isn't cooperating. They usually start by publishing a small amount of fairly innocuous things. Then you'll see the game heat up. He said attacks on schools are very common, believe it or not. And out of Washington, D.C. in the swamp, Mitt Romney, no surprise, is trying to negotiate to index the gas tax so that it goes up with inflation. as a way to pay for infrastructure stuff, along with a bunch of Democrats. So they, typical, Mitt Romney and these folks, you know, happy to raise the gas tax on you. And U.S. Rep. Chip Roy of Texas seeks to ban China from purchasing U.S. land. It's a pretty good deal. Anybody connected members of the Chinese Communist Party would bar them from purchasing land in America. The Spectator reporting that story today. I like that. And the Houston Methodist Health System has suspended a whole bunch of employees, almost 200, because they don't want to take this unproven, non-fully tested, emergency authorization-only vaccine that, of course, the CDC today has admitted is causing heart inflammation in young men. Have a blessed weekend, my friends. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos. It may sound impossible, but Isabel and I have done it, having fun while going to the dentist. Dr. Silvia Zuniga's practice in Costa Rica is personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. Her office is near most of the embassies and a place perfect for walking and enjoying the wonderful weather. If you want top dental work at almost unbelievably affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.